Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is a beautiful morning this morning. I think they call this a Chamber of Commerce morning.
It's gorgeous for sure.
It really is. The sun's out. You got wispy clouds. This is picture perfect. So if you haven't been out today, I'd recommend that you do that. It's just good to get outside. Today's the best day to do it. Now is a good time if you're going to do it.
Let's do it.
Shrug off kind of the darkness of the cave we're stuck in and see if we can, get a better outlook on life. So this is Elder Care Radio, hosted by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And we are the seniors resource for all things senior. We try and bring good information on this program. And our telephone number is 435-477-6999.
You can also find us on our website, and you can find out more about us, too, at pathwayhospicecare.com. And all of our radio broadcasts are recorded and can be found there on our website.
And you can contact us in a lot of different ways. You can call us. Certainly, you can text us at that same number if you want. And our email addresses, we don't make it difficult. My name is Richard, and that's Richard at Pathway Hospice Care. And Kaylee's is Kaylee at Pathway Hospice Care. If you're not sure how to spell that, go ahead and send it to Richard. Because we do like to hear from you. In fact, we had one of our loyal listeners in the office yesterday, and we got to talk a little bit about this radio program, and we appreciate her input on that. So let's start off with some COVID good news. I think everybody's come to the conclusion that things are better now than they were, but I just want to get some specific information out there because I think it's important. Our high was in November, and that was before Thanksgiving and before Christmas and before New Year's. Those were all the super spreaders. And the high was before that. And in southern Utah, we had 262, cases in one day. And that was the high. And, as of Monday, it was 61 cases of positive COVID tests. So we are way down, and that's been sloping ever since. And not just in southern Utah, but in every Utah county, those have been sloping off since before the big holiday rush. So it's good to know that that's happening. Of course, with vaccines coming on, we expect that that's going to curve even faster going down. There is still, a lot of push to get vaccines, and people are still waiting.
Well, people are waiting because the vaccines still aren't available to the general public because they're going in order of severity. The people at most risk are the first to get vaccinated. And I think it's a good time to mention that the reason they can't just give the vaccines to every home health and hospice provider, every doctor's office, is because of the a very fragile nature of the vaccines and how it has to be cared for. Obviously, we're also counting each vaccine and making sure that they're not wasted. So the health district, along with the World Health Organization and CDC, has put very stringent guidelines in place of who can administer them, who has access to the vaccines, and what order of priority people can get vaccinated. But call your health district, and as most of you have probably heard, Walgreens will be rolling out their vaccination schedule as well.
Right. So that it should start picking up, and we'll be doing more vaccinations constantly. But some COVID good news. Garfield County, you had zero positive tests. Kane County, zero positive tests. Beaver, you had four positive tests. And Iron County had eight. Those numbers aren't bad. If you consider all the people that you might see in your county, you have very low probability of contacting anybody who has COVID. And these people who've tested positive know they're testing positive, and they're not going to put other people at risk.
Least of all, probability of running into them when both of you aren't wearing masks, because that's really what it's going to take, right?
Right. And so in Washington County, of course, we've got 49. We're carrying the rest of that 61. But when you start looking at the numbers for southern Utah, we have 235,000 to 250,000 residents here in southern Utah, and 61 seems like a pretty small number. We have 32 residents in hospitals that have tested positive for COVID. That doesn't mean they're in the hospital because of COVID. That means that they have a positive test while in the hospital. And so,
regardless of why they're at the hospital.
So all in all, it's really looking good. In spite of that, though, I don't think we've all got big plans. Now that we're past the holiday season, you know, the Christmas is over, New Year's is over, even Halloween and Thanksgiving. The Super Bowl is done, so we don't have to worry about that. Today, we wanted to talk about some things that maybe we can get done without having, you know, a big plan. This might be a good time of year to maybe knock some things off of the should-do list.
And this came by way of suggestion of our lovely listener, and we were happy to hear her opinion, as we are when our listeners do call in or stop by our office. We are always excited to meet you and to, you know, discuss in person who we are and why we're here and what we're trying to accomplish to help the seniors in our community. But we do have a gift for all of you I want to share with you. Any of our listeners who want to come by our office, give us a call first so we can make sure that we're there and have this available. But we do have an emergency preparedness kit available to you. And it's we've done the work to gather the information and resources directly from FEMA, who, of course, are the experts in what will be necessary and what you'll need to have prepared. So we do have these kits available to you. The first thing on there that says, and Andy, you can help me out with this. The first thing it says, keep informed. Listen to local radio or television for news and instructions in the middle of a emergency. That's your first plan of preparedness. And who do we listen to?
Yeah, what's Andy? What would be the best radio station to listen to for news and information?
I'm thinking 890 KDXU. That's just my, as an example, when we first had the COVID thing really hit in March, we did 24-hour updates. We were up, Craig Bennett and I split up the day 12 hours each, and we did updates every single hour. So we'll be there for you.
So that's 890 AM and... Also on FM, is there
94.9 FM. We have an app, and we also have, you know, can go to our website, 890kdxu.com. A lot of ways to access us.
That's right. So you don't have to fear an emergency, something, a national disaster or a natural disaster of any kind. You always have resources, and we're going to help you today get prepared for those emergencies. And then, you know, the first source is turn your radio on. To 890 AM or 94.9 FM so that you can stay up on top of it all.
And you make a good point on the fear part of it. Fear is not knowing what to do, but if we just have a plan. Mm-hmm. And as we go through some of this stuff, I think it's important to realize that, yes, there may be national and natural emergencies that we have to be prepared for, and that's a good thing. But we can prepare for a lot of emergencies that aren't necessarily going to affect the entire country. And the immediate one that I think of is your telephone. You know, we've all come to rely upon that small little, you know, 3-inch by 6-inch gadget for a lot of things. And I think we'd be lost without it. And so if, for instance, it was a personal emergency, like you lost your phone somewhere, you know, you dropped it and couldn't find it. How do you overcome that? And so we came up with a few things that I think are easy and things that we could probably do today or this weekend to get better prepared even for that. In our phones, we probably have every contact of every person that's important to us. And that may be the only place we have that information at this point. So it would be worth just taking those contacts and printing them out onto paper. You know, the old school, we all remember having paper. If we just got that printed out, and if you're not comfortable being able to do that for yourself, then ask your grandson or granddaughter, and they should be able to get that printed out for you. And then you just take and put that away in with your other important papers, and now we have prepared ourselves for a potential emergency. In addition to that, I know that I used to remember a lot of telephone numbers back before my phone was doing it for me, but I've lost that capability. So it might make sense to take and write down the names and telephone numbers of important people that we might need in an emergency. You know, each of our family members, some other emergency contacts, maybe a few neighbors. And if we get that written down again on paper and maybe keep that in our wallet or in our purse. And I was thinking that your coin purse today probably is pretty lonely. That might be a good place to put it since nobody's using coins. So that little pocket in your wallet that for women that handled your coins, that might be a good place to put that just so it's always available. Those are the kind of things that we are thinking are really good activities today, because with nothing that's really pressing, you know, we've gotten past the holiday, so we don't have to worry about that. We've gotten past the Super Bowl now, so there's no, you know, needing to plan for that party. And I don't think anybody has any long-term, you know, travel plans right now. The kids are all in school, if you have kids around the house, so it might be a great time to just knock down some of these things. And again, on the emergency preparedness, while we have a lot of resources for you that deal with the national emergencies, FEMA's put a whole lot of paperwork out there that we'll share with you, but even considering your own personal emergencies, it would be a great idea to kind of knock some of these things off the table. So once we've done this, handled our telephone and gotten our written paper copy of all of our contacts, and we're putting that in with our important papers, that might be a good time then to even consider what our important papers are. We've got a brochure here from the FEMA that'll give you some very specific criteria for that. But I will tell you that in talking about it yesterday with our listeners, we realized that we probably all collect a lot of paper. And she had a niece, I believe, that told her, you know, you've got a lot of stuff and you got a lot of papers. It, you know, when we're approaching the end of life, it's important that that we consider what needs to be maintained. And she suggested that you take care of your papers. You go through and clean out all the papers and leave the rest of the stuff to everybody else, because the stuff is easy to deal with. You can go through and look at the things on the shelves and say, okay, this is what needs to be distributed to these people, and this is, you know, these are the important things.
That's a good thing to remember. I'm not sure how many of you remember the Paper Reduction Act. It used to be that we would keep personal documents, all important documents, for at least 10 years. They have reduced that to 7 years, and about 90% of the items now are reduced to about 3 years. So we shouldn't be holding on to our tax returns since we were 18. That is the paperwork that we can get rid of so that our family isn't burdened with that after we're gone. When we talk about the stuff, that's the personal things that might have value, which also brings up another important topic. When my mother passed away and the kids came into the house, one of the most daunting things to do was to go through and decide who got what. And it was so funny that this silly little clock that plugged into the wall in the kitchen was the one item that everybody wanted, because that was the item growing up that we all looked at when we were racing in to beat our curfew.
And if you want to know what that clock looked like, it was a cuckoo clock. It was small, you know, electrically operated, little motor in it. The bird popped out. It was plastic.
I don't know what clock you're talking about.
Seeing that clock in your house.
Yeah, but that wasn't the one you
remember. I'm sorry, I don't know this story. Go ahead, you tell me the story.
No, it was a kitchen clock. So it was like a, what are the brown little pot holders? It looked like a pot holder, but it had a clock in the middle. And anyway, it plugged into the wall. That wasn't the important part. The important part the message is this. If you could take time to go through your house and make a list of everything that you think somebody would have, you know, a special thought or meaning to, and put their name on the back of it or put it on a list, you would be surprised at how important that will be to your family, your loved ones. Because when something was given for a personal reason, it has so much more value. And it doesn't matter if it's got a monetary value, it's the personal value that matters. When, you know, we ended up giving that clock to my sister Tracy, because for some reason that was just so important to her. And we all kind of wanted it, but it was like, oh, she wants that so much. And that clock still has such value to her. She plugs it in the wall in her house. It doesn't match her decor, and it's so old-fashioned, but she loves it.
And Tracy, if you're listening to this, you may be having people knock on your door now to see what this clock is.
So. See the potholder clock.
And prove that I'm right, that it's not a cuckoo clock.
So it's important to just take this time and go through that. But really, if you can purge the paperwork, because you know, it's hard for people to just sit down. Let's say you have a four-drawer file cabinet of all the things that you thought were important over your life. And you haven't gone through that again and figured out, well, yes, that was important for the month of March in 1984, and it's not necessarily very important today. For the kids to go through that and to determine what is of value and isn't is difficult. So if you can cut the number of papers you have in your house by half, you're doing a great thing. If you can go back again and cut it by half again, you are doing a spectacular thing. And that's not a hard thing to do, you know, just sitting down and deciding to go through it and getting rid of that stuff and shredding some documents that are worth shredding. So we've got a lot of areas of emergencies that we may need to be able to deal with, but any one of them we can take off the list makes our burden lighter. And so we don't need to take on the entire FEMA plan and say that's all got to be done right. We just do anything.
But I will say these kits that we've gathered for our listeners who want to come by our office and pick them up, they are really handy. They are laid out so well. And there's even a kids book that you can go through with your younger children so that they can help you decide where the family would meet in an emergency. There's little coloring pages and things that will make it important to your children of all ages. But it really is a helpful, helpful tool. When you're wondering, oh man, what do I need in my first aid kit? There's a checklist. When you're wondering, you know, what do we need to do? What are we planning for? Since we don't know the disaster, how much information or how many possessions or what documents do we gather to take with us, and how do we store them, and where do we put them? It's all here. This is laid out very well for you.
Well, in one of the publications, it specifically takes and looks at each of the potential hazards that we have, whether that's an avalanche or a cyber attack or an active shooter or a flood or a hurricane. And I don't think we have to worry about hurricanes here, although there were a couple of tornadoes. Earthquake, extreme heat. They just break it down and say, okay, under these conditions, these are the things that are going to be important. And if you just read through this, you'll be better prepared. But then you can create that that preparedness kit that applies mostly to what you would expect to be a problem here in southern Utah.
In your area.
Yeah.
Right.
So we can, it's you're able to tailor it to your needs. You don't have to necessarily plan for everything.
But things you might not think of, being prepared on a shoestring for that general necessity, the general emergency, right? Or most emergencies. The making sure that you have a plan on for your children, regardless of the age. If you're at school and something happens, how are you going to get a hold of mom and dad? Or how are we going to get a hold of you? Those are discussions that have to happen before the emergency so that your kids aren't panicked. I mean, I know if my, 14-year-old was at school and something happened, if I had not gone through these things, he would be absolutely panicked on which way should I go? Where should I meet? Should I meet at the office? Should I go to the house? Do I stay here? Those are the things that have to be planned for in advance of an emergency.
Yeah, and the plan doesn't have to be difficult. They say you should have 3 days worth of food and water, and they give you some ideas, and certainly on the water side. Most houses, if you have a 30-gallon water tank, a heating tank for your water, if you turn the electricity off and let that cool down, you will have 30 gallons of drinkable water. So that's a good place to start. And if you realize that, then that's, that reduces your need. But for our seniors, medications are a big deal. They recommend that you have a week's worth of medications taken care of. The easy way to do that is get one of those pill planners that just gives you a week's worth of pills and fill that up and put that aside so that it's all there ready to grab and be done in that emergency. And those are just simple things that we put in place that make sense.
Or have your 30-day pill plan and then just have that box as one of the things that you grab and go with.
Right. A lot of pharmacies are pill packing, and that means they are making those daily separate, pills. And so it'd be easy to grab a week's worth or, 30 days worth of that. Another thing on the pills, talk to your doctor about getting some extras. just in case, be able to extend that prescription a little bit in case of that emergency. So it's just a matter of making a call to your doctor and saying, hey, I've been thinking that I want to be a little better prepared. Can I get my prescription updated to, you know, to give me 30 days more?
Or I picked up my preparedness kit from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and it says I need pills put aside for at least a week.
That is a much better way to put that, that I picked up my preparedness kit from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and it says, and the government says, that I should do this. Yeah, absolutely.
According
that's the best
FEMA,
way to do it.
According to FEMA.
Yeah, that's FEMA's recommendation. So if you weren't sure the number to call, that's 435, easiest number in the world, 477-6999.
Or if you just remember our name, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, our website is Pathway Hospice Care. And our emails are Pathway Hospice Care. So Richard at Pathway Hospice Care or PathwayHospiceCare.com. Can't lose us. Can't miss us.
That's right.
Easy to find.
And our office is on the corner of Riverside and Mall. So if you want to stop by, we're always happy to talk to people. Just give us a call. Make sure we're in the office. But we are above Burke Orthodontics, if you're familiar with that. Or we are kitty corner from Smith's or across the street from Maverick or... the school is
Fossil Ridge.
So it's that intersection. I think everybody can find that. And we would love to see you. In fact, we are planning on having some community meetings there. We'll invite, just let us know that you want to come. We'll set up some schedules and we'll get together and talk about what really matters and get everybody better informed. So we look forward to that. So, again, FEMA is a great place to get some resources for how to prepare. We have a lot of those resources available for you if you are interested. So give us a call. The radio station here is a great radio station to listen to, not just at 8:30 on Wednesday mornings, but throughout the day. There's always good information here, and Andy is an absolute wealth of information. In fact, last week I told him that I would solve that problem because when we were talking about medical conditions, and I don't even remember what the condition was now, but are the abbreviation. Andy, do you remember that now?
I remember looking it up. I don't remember what it was.
Man.
It had something to do with doctors and over nighttime, daily or nightly before bed.
Yeah, it was the abbreviation before bed.
Yeah.
And I don't have that information. Man, I thought we had that all worked out.
We're getting old.
But Andy immediately looked that up while we were there. So he is always that that resource for information. And if you really want to know what the answer is, I guess you're going to have to call our office, and I will have that answer for you. But it is the Latin abbreviation for at bedtime to take drugs, and it was a four-letter acronym that was – but the story is that the Queen's doctor, it was Queen Victoria, I believe, that started using that phrase for – and so that became part of the medical lexicon because he came up with some Latin phrase for at bedtime. And so we really appreciate being here on the radio. And again, we really love input from our listeners and being able to share that information. So, Andy, I think we're almost out of time. Any thoughts that you have about, you know, how we're doing on this and how we can do better?
Well, just your topic today, I think, was incredibly timely, emergency preparation. We think, hey, a big disaster or something, but it can be something like what's happened to our entire world this year with the pandemic and the idea that we better be prepared. I mean, the run on toilet paper, who knew, right? So you got to be prepared.
I will be honest, FEMA does not say... stockpile a bunch of toilet paper.
Yeah,
not say that in one page.
They didn't say that, especially not a garage full.
Right. Thank you for listening. Please give our office a call and schedule coming to pick up your emergency preparedness packet. Thank you.